We altered things a little bit today, Communion Sunday. I probably have a longer message than I wanted to present, but that's the way that goes. So we just cut out one worship song, okay? So just trying to respect time and all that. So that's why things are a little bit different today. And, of course, we can't always predict microphones and stuff like that. So just thank you for your patience and bearing with us. It seems like we have something always go wrong, but we trust God, and we don't trust these earthly things anyway. So that's just something that we get to take advantage of here, and helps our experience of worship and being together. And if all that goes away, we can just huddle together a little closer, and we don't need these sound systems and stuff anyway if we really get down to it. So just have to look at that stuff in a different light sometimes, okay? All right, let's get into this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think everybody here is pretty much up to speed on why we're doing the Thessalonian church here, learning from them. There's a lot to learn from them. Today we're only going to get through one verse, okay? There's three words in there that probably could have spent more time on them than what I'm going to, but this was we're spending time on basically three words in this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Let me read that. It says, "And for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also is at work in you who believe." So we know that the Thessalonian church had been founded on the word of God. That's chapter 1, verse 6. The message, that the word of God, that is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That same word brings salvation. It also enables believers to live for Christ and to endure suffering for his sake. And that's what the Thessalonian church was doing. So Paul here is expressing his thankfulness to God that this church had the right spiritual attitude toward the Word of God, okay? They had the right spiritual attitude toward the Word of God. And it helped them, ultimately, to endure those times of sufferings that they were going through. They were seeing the Word of God work in them. Paul was seeing the Word of God work in this church. So today we're going to talk about these three words, these three aspects, and see what the result of God's Word working in those believers is, okay? So the words that we're talking about, your translation might be a little bit different than mine. Two of them are real similar. The words we're going to talk about is, first of all, is received. Received. And accepted is actually can both be translated received, but they're two different translations. It's two different Greek words. So the first received that we come across there is you received the word of God. And that has to do with taking a strong personal interest. We went over this in chapter 1, I believe, but it has to do with our heart, our emotional side of things, okay? So received the word. And the second word then is accepted. In the Legacy Standard Translation here, they translate it, "You accepted it," same word, which means they received the word with welcome, and they welcomed it into their inner man or their mind. Okay, so there was that was a little different than how they received it in their heart. And then the first word or the third word then is the phrase. It's actually the phrase "at work." And that Greek is energeo. So that has to do with, it means to be at work in something or to accomplish something or having a display of activity, all right? So the first point, the first word that we're going to be talking about is that they received the word. So when they received the word, we see them... the first blank on your notes there, on your handout, is that they appreciated the word. Okay, when they received the word here, we see them appreciating the word of God. And that Greek is paralambano. We went over that. It means that they received it, when they received that word of God, it came alongside them, actually kind of like a partnership. It was something that they took along with them, okay? So they received the word. It means also to aggressively take by showing of strong personal interest. So this was something they fell, for lack of a better word, they fell in love with the word of God. They had great affection for it. They appreciated it very much. They received it with their heart, with their emotional being, okay? So this was a deep receiving, not just a mere welcoming, but it was a deep receiving. And so they were making this, the word, receiving the word as a daily part of their life, and it went along with them, okay? It went along with them. This is important because the Bible is not just any other book. You know, we can carry around a handbook. Some of us, maybe in our jobs, we have to carry around some sort of a reference guide or maybe shop manuals, those kinds of things that help us along throughout our day. But the Bible is not like any other book, okay? We should know this, but I think sometimes maybe we forget this. It's not like just normal man-written literature. You know, the Bible's origins are divine. The Bible's origins are divine. I'm going to give you guys some scripture. I'm not going to talk about this a whole bunch, but the Bible's origins are divine. The Bible has a character that's perfect. Its content is truth or fact. There's a lot of things in our world today going against truth and biblical fact, okay? But its content is truth. And lastly, just the Bible costs something. The Bible costs something. And I'm not talking about cost to print or cost to buy, but it cost is not really measurable in the way that humans measure things, okay? So the origin, we know the origin of the Bible. We can find this in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says, all scripture is the Bible, scripture is the word of God. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. We use that scripture a lot on Sunday nights in Brianna's Hope. That's how we teach. It's God-breathed. The Bible is God-breathed. And we know that when we're reading that, we are reading the words of God. Okay. Secondly, I mentioned character, the character of the Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, 21 through chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21 says this, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes by man's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by the will of man, but by men being moved by the Holy Spirit from God. So what that's telling us is that men wrote this book, but they were under the power, they were under the control, They were writing scripture as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the writing of the scriptures is not only God breathed, but it comes from the Holy Spirit, not from man's interpretation of things. Okay, that's why you have all these different authors over all these different years, and this book comes into one cohesive message. All right, that's why it's not coincidental. It has a perfect character. All right. Now on to the content. Psalm 19, 7 through 9 tells us some things about the content of Scripture, that it's true, that it's factual, that we can depend upon it. Okay. So let me read that. Psalm 19, 7 through 9. The law of Yahweh, the law of the Lord, the law of God, is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yahweh are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true. They are righteous altogether. So its content is something that we can be sure of. It is right, it is pure, it is clean, it is true, always, always. Okay. And these are the things that we know and should make us appreciate Scripture. The last on cost is the Scripture costs something. It costs persecution. You go not just carrying one of these around, but living it out, and it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you relationships with people that say they loved you, liked you at one time. Certainly cost Jesus his life. Okay, and he's promised that it's going to cost us persecution as well. So there's a great cost that comes along with having an appreciation for Scripture and following what Scripture says. All right. So these facts about the Word of God should help shape the way the believer handles or treats his relationship with Christ Jesus, how we handle the Word of God. Okay. And actually, it's a tell on how one regards the relationship with Jesus Christ as well. Okay, how we approach our relationship with Christ. Now, your next blank, I'm going to give you both of these right away, and then I'll read the scripture associated with it. Most of us are familiar with these scriptures, but Jesus, I wanted to make this distinction before we went further. Jesus is the Word of God. Okay. Jesus is the living word. Jesus is the living word, and the Bible is the written word. All right? Jesus is the living word, and the Bible is the written word. If we go to John chapter 1, very first verse, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and you can substitute the Word there for Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He was at the beginning. It's before the beginning, in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So Jesus is very much God. And then verse 14, "And the Word became flesh." This is where Jesus come to earth. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So that goes back to speaking to Jesus is the living word. The Bible is the written word, and it reveals Christ. Also, the last four or five words there, full of grace and truth there, that goes back to the Psalm 19 reference of it's something that can be trusted. All right. So Jesus is the living word, and the Bible is the written word. So in essence, they're the same. When we pick up Scripture and we read the Scripture, we are getting, we are receiving the voice, the instruction of Jesus Christ. All right? They're, in essence, they're the same. I'm going to rip off a list here, try and keep up. If you don't catch all these, I'll get with you after service. But if you read the Scripture, you're going to find, I'm going to give you these Scriptures, but both, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Okay? Also, Scripture is bread that we eat for life. All right, Matthew 4:4, and then John 6:48. So they're both referred to as bread. Jesus and the written word, the living word and the written word. Both are referred to as light. This isn't on your notes, but both are referred to as light. Psalm 119, 105, and then John 8:12, Psalm 119, 105, and John 8:12, both are referred to as light. Both are referred to as truth. It'd be John 14:6, and John 17:7. Both are born of the Holy Spirit. We heard a little bit about that already, referring to the Word of God, but reference to Jesus, that is Luke 1:35, and then of course 1 Timothy 1:20 and 21. Both are born of the Holy Spirit. And both are eternal. Both are eternal. There's three scriptures here. Both are eternal. Romans 1:25, Psalm 119:89, and 1 Peter chapter 1:23 and 25. Both are eternal. I'm saying this because this is in the scripture is important for us. The scripture is important for us to be taking in. Aaron and I talked about that a little bit just this morning for some reason. I don't know why, but that was a topic of a quick discussion we had. Scripture intake. The Bible is referred to as food as we read throughout Scripture. Yet, oftentimes maybe we don't consume it before we consume natural food, whether that be daily or weekly or monthly. We tend to take care of our physical being before we take care of our spiritual side of things. And Job had something to say about that. In Job 23:12, he says, "I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food." Job understood the importance of scripture intake. Okay, he understood that importance, and so he made that a priority to make that more important than his food. And of course, we heard Jesus say that also when he answered Satan during his time of temptation. That was a quote from Deuteronomy, and I can't remember exactly what that was. I think I mentioned it last week or the week before, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Okay, that's our scripture. That's our scripture. So the Bible is our spiritual food, and if we're not intaking that, we're starving ourselves. So again, the Bible is referred to as bread, milk, and meat. We know this from various scriptures, and honey. All these things sustain the physical, but also we use those words. They use those words so that we know that it's the same nourishment for our spiritual side. Okay, if you think about Martha and Mary, this is Luke 10. If you want to go look this up and read about it later. I'm not going to get into the whole story, but we see sisters, both in the presence of the Lord Jesus, right? And both of them had a choice to make. And Mary, this is a cool picture in Scripture. Mary chose the Word. She chose time with Jesus. She chose to be nourished in the presence of Jesus. Okay, so she chose the living Word of God, while Martha chose to be busy trying to make the bread. Does that make sense? Remember, Martha got upset with Jesus. Tell Mary to come back and help me with the meal. I have so much to do. And Jesus rebuked her and said, but she's spending time with me, the bread of life, and that is the most important thing. She was worried about, Mary was taking what Job said, and she was intaking her spiritual nourishment first and foremost, while Martha was more worried about the physical. Okay? So the Word of God is a blessing when consumed as intended, and we should make it a priority. So similarly, though, put other things in place of the Word of God. Sometimes we say that we would rather have the Word than money, you know, but that's the church answer, right? That's the churchy answer. But oftentimes our footsteps betray us, right? We end up chasing a dollar. We end up chasing a career. We end up chasing physical things around rather than the wealth that's in the Word, okay? Or how about sleep? Sleep's another thing. Would we rather forego some sleep to consume Scripture? You know, we see this sometimes. Sometimes there's early morning stuff that's happening, and we're missing out. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and you kind of hearing like, maybe I should be praying, maybe I should be reading. I know usually if I get woke up in the middle of the night, I'm supposed to have my nose in some Scripture. Right, it's foregoing sleep because God's trying to nourish me, trying to give me something, and oftentimes it's hard to give up that physical desire, that physical need for sleep, to feed on Scripture, but, you know, or should I get up and go to that study? Should I get up and go to church, or should I feed my physical? Should I feed my physical needs versus my spiritual needs? So that's a battle that all believers face. You know, do we feed on food? Do we take care of our physical needs? Do we take care of our money needs? Do we take care of our sleep needs? Or are we taking care of feeding our soul? So the point in that is, if we're taking care of our spiritual nourishment, if we're taking care of that, if we have an appreciation for the Word of God, and we put it first place in our life, and we have a fond affection for that, when time to suffer comes along, when times of trial and testing come along, persecution, we're going to be ready to be used for the purposes of Christ that He has for us, okay? And if we're ready for that, if we've been preparing, if we've been had an appreciation for the Word of God, we'll find that we have victory over the enemy more so than if we're not prepared. But we have to start with an appreciation or an affection for the Word of God, all right? Does that make sense? All right. Next, this has to do with accepting the Word. They accepted the Word. So the word I'm choosing here is they appropriated the Word. Okay, they appropriated the Word. They welcomed it in their mind. They welcomed it through meditation, embraced it. They were making it their own, or they were giving ear to it. Okay, so it's a little bit different than the received, in that this, while received has that affection or that appreciation, this has to do with us more with meditating on the Word of God. Okay, so Paul says that they accepted the Word as from God, not from men. So they would have recognized that it was important to be intaking this and putting it to work. Luke 8:13 is the parable of the sower, where one of the types of soil. If you remember this, you can go read this on your own too. I'm not gonna read this to you. We should all be familiar with this, but the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. One of the types of soil received the Word of God. Do you remember that? Received it with joy, and then yet there was a time of temptation, a time of trial came along, and they lost the Word. They let it slip through their hands. The cares of the world came and took it away. They lost their joy. They lost the Word. So it fell away during that time of temptation. And so Jesus, often in Scripture, in the different Gospels, was teaching about the right and the wrong types of hearing. Okay, he taught about the right and the wrong types of hearing. When we hear the Word, how we're receiving that. And so there's three different things that I want you to get out of this, how they appropriated the Word. Matthew 13:9. This has to do with the parable of the sower as well. It's just in a different gospel. Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." That's the Scripture. He who has ears, let him hear. So what Jesus was trying to tell them was, take heed that you hear. Make sure that you're hearing. Take heed that you hear. Take heed that you hear. And what he's trying to say is, there, use every opportunity to hear the Word of God. Use every opportunity to hear the Word of God. Put yourself, in other words, put yourself in a position to be hearing the Word. Intaking the Word. Put yourself in that position. Whether it's radio, taped broadcast, television, whatever it might be, Bible study, reading, those kinds of things. But put yourself in a position to be hearing the Word. Mark 4:24, Jesus changes this phrase a little bit. He says, and he was saying to them, beware what you listen to. Beware what you listen to. So here he's saying, take heed what you hear. So while I'm saying go out and get you on a good some good teaching. Say you're listening to the radio or a webcast or something like that. Make sure it's good teaching. Be careful what you let go into your ears, because some of it is junk. All right? Some of it is junk. Just because people put the word Christian before or after what they're saying doesn't mean that it's right. Okay? We have to check everything through Scripture. So we want to be very careful of what we hear. Take heed of what you hear. Take it in. Guard against it. Guard against the world. The world's always trying to take from us and redefine what Scripture says and God is commanding us through Scripture. Okay, this is why it's important to meditate on Scripture. It's important to meditate. Don't let the world come in and take what you hear and distort it or take it away altogether. Okay, make sure that what you are hearing is a good source. And if there's a question, ask. There's a lot of snake oil, mystical junk out there right now. You got to be very careful not to fall for it, because it's very convincing, some of it. Some of it looks like a snake, and some of it doesn't. So you just have to be very, very careful what you're hearing. All right. Next, Luke 8:18. Jesus says, "So beware how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away." So beware how you listen. Jesus is telling us here to take heed how we hear. How we hear. Now, this is something that could be controversial. I don't know. But it kind of goes along with the last one of what you hear. Sometimes we hear what we want to hear. Sometimes we have a propensity to go hear a message because it sounds good to us, all right? Because it makes us feel good. So if we're not paying attention to how we hear, we're not going to pay attention to what we hear. So Timothy, or Paul, in 2 Timothy 4:3, well, let's go there. This is where we're at. This is where we're at, folks. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires." Let me read that again. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires." That means that they have these, one of the translations used itching ears. They're wanting to hear what they want. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to be soothed. They want to be agreed with. They don't want to run into any sort of a, this person's going to challenge my character biblically. Okay? So we got to be very careful that we're sitting under sound doctrine, okay? Sitting under sound doctrine. Hebrews 5:11 talked about the person who became dull of hearing, that didn't want to hear that sound doctrine, didn't want to hear the right teaching. They had dull hearing, okay? Amos 8:11 warned that, "Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land." I don't know that anybody's experienced a famine here, have you? Or seen famine? Maybe we see it on TV. But he says, "Behold, the days are coming when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or thirst, not the physical, but rather for hearing the words of Yahweh." And that's what we're talking about here. Paul was talking about in Timothy, is that's a famine. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be transformed by the word of God. They want to keep going in the direction they were going, and fulfill the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. that kind of thing. So we've got to be very, very, very careful of how we're hearing, what we're hearing. Okay? That's our attitude toward it. You know, do I want to be found in the will of God, or do I want to be constantly soothing myself and finding myself comforting the flesh? Okay? That's a temptation. You know, there's all kinds of places around, not just in this town, but all over. You flip on the TV, and you're going to find church after church after church that are substituting entertainment. It's an entertainment theology. These are substituting sound doctrine for entertainment theology. They're substituting rightly dividing the word for this idea of pleasing people, giving them this feel-good worship experience, and people are flocking to it left and right. They're flocking to it left and right to their own doom, in my opinion. Some might see it, some might not, but these churches are setting people up to starve them spiritually, to give them everything they want physically, but to starve them spiritually. And what we see is people are flocking to different places so they consume as much information as they can, maybe for that feel-good emotion, makes them feel good for being there, or maybe they get what they want from being there. You know, they're seeking this kind of an experience, or maybe even the attitude of what have you done for me lately, from the church. Maybe that's the mindset. I'm not sure, but that kind of theology, that kind of teaching, that kind of intake doesn't do anything when the day of temptation comes, when the day of suffering comes, when the day of persecution comes. Because we've been too busy, filling our physical with comfort and seeking the things that make us feel good, that make us comfort, instead of seeking the things that are sound doctrine that God's trying to do in our lives. So the church in Thessalonica was successful at this, and we know that because they endured and overcame the sufferings that came. And the way they did that was through the word of God. They overcame that suffering and that persecution, and they thrived during the midst of that. You know, not only the Jews were after them, but the Romans were after them too, trying to get them to stop. And instead of them shrinking back, their testimony grew, and people from the outside, sinners from the outside, were seeing that beacon of light that was growing up, that was shining out of that church. Because who else can be persecuted? Who else can be suffering for the sake of Christ other than people that believe it, are living it, and endure that kind of treatment with joy, other than those that believe? So they were drawing sinners to the faith because they had that word deep in them, because they had appreciated it, because they had appropriated it, they were living it out. And they wouldn't deny their Savior for simple pleasures. They wouldn't deny their Savior for simple pleasures. So how does one properly appropriate the word? We have to understand it. We have to understand what God's trying to say to us through His word. We have to receive that into our mind by meditating on it, so that it becomes a part of our inner man, that we know that we know that we know. Okay, it's meditation is basically spiritual digestion. All right, it's spiritual digestion. What happens when you don't digest your food? Bad stuff, right? You get irritated. It might come back up. It doesn't nourish you. Those kinds of things. We have to, if our bodies are going to grow, you have to have proper digestion. Cows, steers, they have these amazing stomachs, right? They go out there and you see them eating grass, eating grain, whatever they're eating. But they're eating it and they're enjoying that for a little bit. It's sort of like getting in the Word of God. And I read this, and I was like, man, I really enjoyed that. And you go along about your day. This cow eats a little bit of grass. He goes on about his day. And a little bit later, he's like thinking about that word, and he says, I think I'm going to burp that up, chew on it a little bit more. So that's called chewing the cud, right? It comes out of that stomach. They chew on it some more. You see him out there chewing on nothing. Well, they're regurgitating that. They're meditating on it right there. That's how they digest their food, so they get the nutrients out of it they need. It's the same way with Scripture. We intake something, right? It piques our interest. We think, I don't quite know what this means, and so we begin to chew on it spiritually. We regurgitate it to ourselves. We continue to chew on that so that we get the proper nutrition from it. Does that make sense? If we don't digest Scripture properly, it's going to cause issues, and we're going to be left starving. Okay, so but if we do it right, done in the right way, there ends up being great growth out of that. Okay, does that make sense? All right. Lastly, that might be a little bit of a gross analogy, but I think it's a perfect analogy of how the cow chews their cud, and we can learn from that. To meditate on the Word of God. Don't just consume it, but continue to chew. Continue to digest everything out of it that you can. All right. Lastly, they applied the Word. So they were here. We see them putting the Word to work. Okay, putting the Word of God to work, and what we see is that they ended up displaying the effects of the Word on the individual believer in the church. So they started out with appreciating and appropriating the Word, and so that's vital to Christian life. But without applying the Word to our lives, without actually putting it to work, the other two just kind of become useless. You know, you got to have all three together. You got to have all three together. Unless the three are combined, we are left short of that transforming power of the Word of God. It has to be, we have to intake it, we have to meditate on it, we have to accept it, but we also have to apply it to our lives. We have to apply it to our lives. If you go to, James chapter 1, talks about this a little bit. James chapter 1. I'm going to start in 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of men does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in gentleness receive the implanted Word. In gentleness receive the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But, verse 22, but become doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So if we just constantly are taking in Word and just hearing it for the sake of hearing it, James says we're deluded. We're deluding ourselves. Okay? We're fooling ourselves. But become doers of the Word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and is and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looked at himself and has gone away, he immediately forgot what kind of person he was. Immediately forgot what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law, the law of freedom, and abides in it, means staying. Abiding means staying or remaining. And abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does. And then the next two verses he gives in his example of what that looks like. If anyone thinks himself to be religious while not bridling his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unstained from the world. So if anyone thinks himself to be religious but hasn't bridled his tongue, the Word would encourage us to keep our mouth shut, right? Keep our mouth shut, don't be talking about it, but in verse 27, be found doing it. Be found doing it. Not just regurgitating what we hear, not just speaking things, but being found doing that. Okay, So, the appreciation and the appropriation of the word demands that we apply the word. It demands application of the word. Okay, so that's your next blank. Appreciating and appropriating demands the application of the word. We have to put it to work. So to apply the word of God to one's life is to reveal and release the power of God through His word. We say this all the time, and maybe we know this. Maybe we don't take it seriously, but you know there is power in the word of God. Luke 1:37 says that nothing is impossible. Nothing will be impossible with God. You know, there's things with men that we can't overcome on ourselves, that we can't do in our own power. But with God, all things are possible. And probably the greatest of all things that is possible is the changing of man's heart. You know, that's a really hard thing for us to change our own heart. But God has the power through His word to do that. Okay, when we look at Jesus healing people, I'm going to give you a scripture here in a second. It's in Mark chapter 3. But when we look at Jesus healing people, we see the commandments of God being fulfilled by His power being displayed in people's lives. Now, I'm not in any way trying to say that we should name it and claim it, right? I have prayed for different things in my life that have never come to fruition. Okay? I'm not saying that you're going to pray to be healed and you're going to be healed. I'm not going to say that you're going to pray to grow your hair back and your hair is going to grow back. I prayed to not ever have to put on glasses again. But I got to have glasses. Okay? That's what God wants. I'm okay with that. So I'm not saying that we name it and claim it. That's a false doctrine. Okay? That's a false doctrine. But what I am saying is there's power in the Word of God to change our insides, our heart, our mind, to transform us into the image of Christ, as Gary talked about this morning in the call to worship, to have the mind of Christ. That comes from the power of God working in us through the Word of God as it's presented to us. So the fact is that the Word of God allows people to do things that they can't do in their own power. Okay? There's certain things that we can't do on our own. Mark 3, I mentioned that earlier, it's 1 through 5, verses 1 through 5. There was a crippled man, and Jesus had commanded him to stretch out his hand. Now, this was something that he couldn't do before this. He had lived his whole life like this. His hand was crippled. And Jesus walks up to him and says, "Stretch out your hand." Jesus, the power of God enabled that man to stretch out his hand. That was the power of God, not the power of the man. He didn't do that of his own will. That was the will of the Father for that man in his life at that point. Jesus commanded it. That guy obeyed, and it happened. Okay? He obeyed, and it happened. Up to that point, that man's hand was crippled, and he could never open it up on his own. Before that command came from the Word of God, the living Word of God, that being Jesus. Okay? He simply obeyed. He heard the command. He heard the Word speaking, and he obeyed that command. He simply obeyed the command of Jesus Christ. The Word told him to stretch out his hand. He trusted. He obeyed. And in that instance, he was healed physically. Similarly, when we believe God's word and obey, He releases a divine power to fulfill His purposes in our life. That's the Word of God in action, in motion, being displayed through our lives. Okay? He releases divine power to fulfill His purposes. So that kind of sounds unlikely or impossible, but it does happen. It does happen. Some of you, there's an older guy, my friend Ron. He was an awful sinner. You know, he was a sinner like any other sinner, and Jesus Christ got a hold of him. He was a heroin addict, He was a brawler. He was a heathen. But he was a heroin addict at the time. And Jesus Christ got a hold of him. And from the minute that he accepted Christ, he was released from heroin. He was delivered from heroin. And that's not something that just happens. Because heroin will kill you most of the time. Most of the time. But that man was delivered. The power of God moved on him, worked on him, and he was delivered. I'm not saying that that happens with all people at all times, because it doesn't. But it happens. Okay? He simply obeyed. He obeyed God in that moment, and the power of God was displayed in his life. He's 70 years old. He's been free from that for 40-some years. It sounds impossible, sounds unlikely, but it happens. This happens a lot, I think, we see it in the addiction world. You know, the world tells an addict that they're never going to change. They're never going to change. You're always going to be whatever it is, right? Whatever it is. You're always going to be an alcoholic. You know, you're one drink away from going back to it. You're never going to change. It's a disease. That's what the world says. It's a disease that's incurable, and you're bound to that. That's not what the Word of God says. And it's not what's available to us through the power of God. Okay? There's people sitting in this room that have been freed from these sins. Okay? It's an idolatry. It's a sinful place that they were at in their life. And the power of God, at one point, comes upon them, and they're freed from it. They didn't do it on their own. I mean, they put in some effort, but mostly it comes from the power of God. Not that we don't have things to continue to work on, because we do, but the power of God has the ability to change men's hearts, to change the things that are going on to it, and it's for His purpose. It's for His purpose, for His will, for His glory. But the world is going to tell us over and over and over that we're never going to change. You know, you're always going to be that way. And everybody's got a diagnosis now, right? Everybody. I bring this up from time to time, but it's a lie. It's a lie. Because God says, our Word says, that if you're in Christ Jesus, you're a new creation. You're a new creation. Transformation can happen. You know? I don't know how long ago it was. You're looking at a guy that got released from one thing, but he got released because he said simply this: stop that, right? Stop that. Don't do it again. And he allowed me to be obedient to that, right? And I don't ever feel like I'm stuck on that. I'm not diseased in that way. Anyway, I'm just saying that the power of God, when he reveals things through the Word, the power of God is put to work in the believer's life. Okay? Sometimes it takes a little longer for some. But it all has to do with God's will, His timing, and His purpose. Okay? And so our job is to continue to be in His Word, be using His Word, and just waiting for that power to be brought about in our lives. So the Word of God within us is a great source of power in times of suffering, persecution, and testing. So this church was going through that. Okay, I mentioned that earlier, that they were suffering terrible trials. You know, they had become believers, their families, their churches had just made them outcasts. Their government was trying to get rid of them. And the power of God, through the Word of God, was working. And they ended up being these dynamic witnesses to the lost world. So that's their tell. That's their tell that they were true believers and that the power of God was working in them. They impacted their whole region as a result of how they directed the Word into their lives. Okay, so that Word was a source of power, and it became available to them, it becomes available to all of us if we will appreciate it, right? If we'll take it into our heart, if it's something that we'll find affection for and begin to put it actively in our lives, if we begin to appropriate it, get it in our minds, and then begin to apply it through our will, okay? So this describes, ultimately, the believer that's victorious, okay? The church that's victorious. This church was going through it, man. They were up against it, but they were victorious. God's power shone through them out into the dark world. So it was God's victory, okay? It was God's purpose working through that church. And I just find that really encouraging. And so I just thought it was really important that we hear about those three words how they impacted the Thessalonican church and how they still impact us today. You know, that's something that we have to consider continually is the Word of God. You know, do we just go to the Bible study? Do we just open it up, just blindly reading it? Or is this something that we got to have? It's something that we want more of? And is it something that we're putting to work in our life to see the power of God displayed? So I'll leave you guys to answer that, but I hope that was encouraging to you. It definitely encouraged me. It helped me to think about my own life and the way I approach the Word of God, how I approach my study time, my meditation time, and actually putting these things to work in my life. And you know what? I got a long way to go. You know, I got a lot of things to learn, but the power of God's working on me. He's working on you, all right? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. All right. So today we get to take communion, and most of you in here, I think you know how we go about communion and how we want to reflect on ourselves. You know, forgiveness, confess sin, those kinds of things we want to consider before we come and take the body and the blood of Christ. But again, We want to take time just to reflect on our own life. If there's unconfessed sin, if there's forgiveness that we haven't dealt with yet, we want to do that before we take the elements, okay? So give you some time to do that. Gary, I'm ready for you. He's coming up. We're gonna do this as usual. We'll come from the back to the front, okay? There's a benevolence plate here. I'll put that right here if you want to give to the benevolence fund. You can do that.